bring you greetings this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you all this morning. This message that I have this morning is one that has been in development for probably some over 2 months. And one of the reasons is because I was preparing a message for Father's Day. And I preached since then, but not very often. And so, but I kept on working on this, and I trust that it is something that we can utilize for us in our lives and in our experience. Recognize that we're not all fathers, but I trust that we can take something away from here that will benefit and bless us. The title for the message is A Role Model for Fathers. A Role Model for Fathers. And it's always with a sense of trepidation that I bring a message like this, because I think probably most of us, especially those of us who are older and past the stage of bringing up young children, we see so many failures in our life, in our experience, and we understand that the potential for being for good parenting is largely past, and yet I think there is something that we can learn and we can just benefit by in that way. This message is not intended to point out failures as parents, but that we can be encouraged to put our best foot forward, as it were, in doing well with our families. Thinking about a role model, and I want to comment about it a bit later as well, but the value of role models, we probably all of us have had role models of some kind in our life, in our experience. Some have been good and noble role models. Others, perhaps, depending on our view of life, has not been so good. We look to the wrong people for role models. But today we want to look at good role models for us. And I would like to present the idea of God being a role model for fathers. God being a role model for fathers. I was thinking about a passage to read as a text and as a basis for this message. I thought about several, and I decided to read from Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 18. I'd like to read this passage. And as we read, I would like for us to be thinking about characteristics of God that would serve as role models for us. And so you can be thinking about that as we work through this passage. Psalm 103:1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth the mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." Characteristics of God as a Heavenly Father, what do we see here? Just thinking about my duty as a father in my 60s, my duty as a grandfather, what does that look like for me? I'm not talking about a 30-year-old. I'm talking about someone whose children are adults. I think as fathers in my stage in life, we need to remember that our children are adults and that they need to take responsibility for their own life choices. I have done what I can. I've done what I did, I should say. But our children are at the place where they make choices on their own. We need to remember that we need to give straightforward counsel when we're asked, but then let our children make the choices. Let them decide what they want to do. We need to allow them to leave as arrows out of a bow and allow them to go to distant places and difficult places sometimes if God calls them to that. Sometimes it's difficult to be doing that, but we need to be, that's what we need to allow them to do. I think it is important and helpful for us if we can have a vision that our children will be doing things that we have not achieved more than what we did. And when we see them coming to that we bless them with that and allow them to do that and not hold them back. I think it is important that we allow them to make financial decisions that are likely different than our own might be because they're in a different place in life. And we also need to allow them to make mistakes sometimes, financial mistakes, and just with the understanding that, you know, we can give them counsel, we can give them direction, but the choice is theirs. But also remember that with God, you know, money is dispensable. With God, money is dispensable. He can provide for us. As a grandfather, what's my duty as a grandfather? It's an interesting duty. I enjoy my grandchildren. And just recently, Brother Monroe and Sister Mim became grandparents again. Just a sense of anticipation there. Great-grandparents, I'm not a great-grandfather. There are great-grandfathers among us. I'm not sure. Are there great-great-grandfathers in our congregation? I'm not sure how Irvin and Lizzie, what their place is, or Brother Willis. But certainly, these are blessings that we have. So far as grandfathers, probably 20 years ago, I was working on a job, and the homeowner was there, and I was asking him about his family. He said he's got several grandchildren, and he lit up about it. But he said, you know, there's one thing I made clear to them, my children from the beginning. He says, I enjoy your children, but I will have nothing to do with diapers and discipline. And so that was his policy. Diapers and discipline he leaves to other people. Grandmothers might find themselves in a little bit different place than grandfathers in that regard. But Proverbs says that children's children are the crown of old men. And certainly grandchildren can be a blessing to older people. Our responsibility to them as grandfathers, we need to be an example to them of godliness, of kindness, and respect. And we need to remember that even though that our children might not be bringing up their children in ways that we think is right, the children still deserve kindness and respect. And all people deserve kindness and respect. And so we owe that to our grandchildren at all times. But then on the other hand, we can always encourage them to respect and obey their parents. And we, as it is right in the Lord. So just a few thoughts there about what fathers' responsibilities are in my place in life and his grandfather's and so forth. But then, is it reasonable that we would expect God to be a role model for fathers? Can we view God as being a role model for fathers? And as we look at this passage in Psalm 103, we see a lot of characteristics about God that we say, how does that relate to being a father? And I'd like to address that in a bit. But so far as God being a role model for fathers, we say, but God is perfect and right in all respects. How can we look to him and achieve the level of holiness the level of holiness and perfection such as he has? And even though we can't reach that, we can look to him to provide a new benchmark for excellence, and that we can strive toward that. It's often been said that children and later adults, they will view God as being the same in temperament as what their father was. And so when we as fathers can model after God in his personality, in who he is, and the way that he is, the type of person he is, then we can be shaping our children's view of God. And so I think that is so well if we can be doing that. Its story has been told that a young child was afraid in the dark one night. And so his mother said that you'll be okay, that God is with you. And the child said, you know, but I want someone that has skin on. And sometimes in our view of God, we wish that God would have skin on so we can see him and feel him and know that he's with us. And as adults, that's a different view than what children have. But, you know, sometimes when we look at God and we would view him in a role such as a father, we might wish that we had someone here that had skin on. Perhaps God sitting in the pew there to give us cues on how to live, or even better yet, be behind the pulpit to speak to us. Someone with skin on, and yet we can learn from the examples of other people who are modeling after God. I can't model God perfectly. Dwayne can't model God perfectly. Jeff can't, you know, none of us can. And yet, perhaps cumulatively, if I can model God in this way, Dwayne in another way, Jeff in another way, together we can model the characteristics that God has, and that we can influence each other with that. And so I'd like to think a little bit about some of the attributes of God as a father, just kind of quickly moving over some points here. God is a person, God is someone who gives guidance. And Deuteronomy 32, verses 7 and following, have an interesting description about how God guided his people in the wilderness. It is in that portion, in that scripture, I think, where it talks about that he cared for them as an eagle does her little ones, and he guided them and cared for them in that way. It's interesting, the word pictures that Moses uses as he talks about the guidance that God gives, that God gave to his people. Job 34, verse 10, he makes a statement like this. I'm not sure if it was Job or one of his friends, but he said, "Far be it from God that he should do wickedness." And that is certainly a true statement about God. Far be it from him that he would do wickedly. He won't do wickedness. Neither should we as fathers and as Christian people be doing wickedness. We know that God is a relational God. In 2 Corinthians 6, we see where Paul quotes, and he says that God will be a father to us, and we can be his sons and his daughters. A very graphic and a depiction of the fatherhood of God, 2 Corinthians 6 there. Psalm 103 that we read here, God's gracious attitude toward us is an example of how our attitude should be to our children. And, we might say, but if we take that position with our children all the time, then we'll spoil them and it won't be good for them. And well, is that really true? Because we like it when God is that way toward us. And we don't see a lot of firm discipline there with God. And yet I think that does not take away from the disciplines that God would bring to us. We can talk about that a bit later perhaps. But I believe that what this scripture would indicate to us is that if we men take a consistent approach to all of our life, then our children will be more likely to be happy and content children. If we take a consistent approach of kindness and respect and graciousness to other people, and just in our whole approach to life, it will influence and affect our children. We have another pointer about God's attributes, and that is his sense for justice. In Genesis 18, where the Lord came to see Abraham, and he was talking to him about what he's going to do down there at Sodom, and Abraham makes this interesting statement. He said, he asked the question, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And he was referring to God, and God will do right. God's sense of justice is right. It will not fail. It is right. And as fathers, as husbands and fathers, as leaders in our home, we need to develop a sense of what is right and that we can pursue that. Thought of several men that I'd like to just point out as biblical fathers to follow. I'm not sure that fathers would be the correct application of term to use there, because what I'm going to be talking about is not so much about fathers, but as to how they live their life. But nonetheless, men whose relationship with God, I think, was then reflected in how they served their children as fathers. Thought about Noah back in Genesis in chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. We don't read much about Noah's personal life throughout his life, but it tells us in chapter 6 in Genesis in verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And then he says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." How is it that Noah found grace in the eyes of God? I think it is because it says, like it says here, he was a just man. What is a just man? And this word just is going to come up again in some other illustrations, but here it means lawful and righteous. He was perfect. As a New Testament definition would be, he was a blameless man, not without fault, but there was no blame attached to his life. And another pointer there that he found grace with God is because he walked with God, and God knew him. He walked with God. He was obedient. And we see that in 22, where he says that God, Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Noah found grace with God. How did that grace with God influence and affect his life? Abraham is a man whom we often reference as a model. And once again, in chapter 18, verse 19, it says that God knew him. I believe that the Lord was saying that I know Abraham. I know his personality. I know his temper. I know his motivations. I know what kind of a man he is, how he's going to lead his life and lead his family. He said he will command his children and his household after him. They will keep the way of the Lord. They will keep the way of the Lord. They will do justice. There again, that word just, to be morally upright. He will keep the way of the Lord. He will do justice and judgment. He will be fair in discipline. And this is how God knew Abraham. And that is why he had the confidence that from Abraham and Sarah, he could raise up a godly seed and a godly heritage and a godly people. And so there again, these were qualities that were inherent in Abraham's life. And as the children's memory verse was this morning, that Abraham was a friend of God. And I think that influenced the whole of his life. Another father that I want to think about, and we don't often reference him as a father, but that is Joseph. That was Jesus' stepfather. I guess that's the term to use for that Joseph. We don't have a lot about Joseph, but the things we do there, I think they're pertinent. In Matthew chapter 1, we find again that he was a just man. He was right in conduct. And this thing of being just, it follows through on all three of these men that I've referenced. And I think he was just in that he did not, one example of his justice is that he wanted to do what was right, but he wanted to do it in a respectful way in regard to Mary, his engaged girlfriend, however you want to term that, even though that he did not know, but he thought that she was in wrong conduct, he wanted to protect her as best as he could. He was obedient. We find that he was obedient in following through with the commandment that God gave him for the well-being of Jesus, this baby that was yet to be born and then that was born. He was considerate and protective of his family. He took them to Egypt, and instead of returning back to Bethlehem, he chose to go back to Nazareth, where he thought his family would be out of harm's way. He was thoughtful. He was considerate. He was protective. He was looking out for the good of his family. He was law-abiding. We read in Luke 2, he followed the civil laws, in that he traveled from Nazareth down to Bethlehem to pay taxes to the Caesar. And I don't know how long a journey that was. And the pictures show that Mary rode a donkey, but I don't think scripture tells us that. Mary might have been walking in her condition. It was amazing that they would be able to make that trip, but they did it. And Joseph was an example of one who was law-abiding on a civil level. He was also law-abiding on a religious level. We see him going to the temple to offer the sacrifices after the birth of Jesus. We see him going to Jerusalem every year to the Feast of Passover. Every year it tells us that in Luke 2. And he was a law-abiding person. I believe that Joseph was a simple man. We don't read of any great philosophies that he had. Matthew 13, we read that he was thought to be unlearned because they said about Jesus, his father was that way. He was unlearned. But I believe that people who walked with God like Joseph did, they had a simple homespun philosophy is what I call it. Just a good, wholesome sense of right living and something that works. And this was Joseph's philosophy, I believe. And I admire Joseph for the kind of person that he was. And what I would like to just point out with all of these, with these three descriptions of or examples of fathers, is that these examples show the quality, we see the quality of their walk with God. And I believe that a truly godly man will almost by default be a good father. And although he'll have mistakes, but if he walks with God, if he commands his household after the ways of God, if he's a just man, obedient and considerate, as best as he knows how, I believe he's going to be a good father as well. I believe that it is a very real possibility for men to become so taken up with doing good work, whether it is being involved on a job to try to be sure to make a good living for the family. It might be involved in church activities, in mission programs of the church. Well, I read about pastors who become so taken up with their congregation, but then in the end, they neglect their families. They neglect the places of their first responsibility. That's a problem for fathers. We tend to look for the things that interest us the most. And too sadly, the things in our homes sometimes get pushed back for sake of good things. And I'm just very happy to just bear testimony to the fact that I think there are at least three men in our congregation that have chosen to sacrifice good things for their families, make a change in their schedules and their lifestyle to accommodate their families. And that's something that we need to be sensitive to and careful about. We need to remember that even though these things are good, we need to remember what is our first calling. Our first calling is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to have God as our passion, first of all, even if it is only simple homespun philosophy that is rooted in the principles of God's word, yet that needs to be our first priority. After that comes the priorities that are our first responsibilities, and that's our wife and our children, to be a husband and father there. And one example of a person who might have become taken up too much with the position that he carried was King David. And I'm sure that there are various interpretations to this passage, but in 2 Samuel 6, we have the story about David when he brought the ark back to Jerusalem. And as he was coming to Jerusalem, it says that he was dancing and he was worshiping God and he was praising God. That was all well and good. But going back a bit in his life, back when he was in favor with King Saul, Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as his wife. Later, when he fell out of favor with Saul, Saul gave Michal to another man. And it tells us in the biblical record, when David became king, that he wanted Michal back as his wife. Michal was actually his first wife, first of six wives, I think. But it tells us that he went and commanded her to come to him. And it says that her husband came after her weeping because he was sorry to lose his wife. You know, why not? But it tells us in this account that as David was worshiping the Lord, Michal was in the house looking out the window, and it says that she despised him in her heart. And the last verse in the chapter in 2 Samuel 6 tells us what might be a reflection of their relationship that they had with each other, the severed and broken relationship. Was it right for David to take Michal away? According to Deuteronomy 24, it says that if a wife leaves her husband or a husband leaves a wife, however that is there, he is not to take her to his wife again after she's been the wife of another man. It says that in Deuteronomy 24. Was it right for David to do this? After all, they were separated on terms that were not of their own choosing. But it just goes to show that I think David was perhaps neglecting some relationships here. And yet, Scripture says that he was a man after God's own heart. Just some things to think about. What are our perspectives about our interests in our desires. I think it is so important, and there's so many things that could be said about this subject of being fathers and being good fathers, but I believe that it is important that we develop relationships with our daughters too that are healthy and wholesome, because it is for us to model a good man so that our daughters can see what a good man is like. It is for us to model a good man to our sons so that our sons can also learn how to live life well, so that they can learn how to relate to women, so that they can learn how to control their emotions, so they can learn how to lead a pure life and how to be capable leaders in the places that God calls them to and the capacities that are open to them. And this whole thing might seem complicated, and perhaps it is, but I think when our hearts are after God, it will help to simplify a lot of things. A bit ago, I mentioned about spoiling our children. I'd just like to give a couple of tips on how to spoil your children if you'd like to. If you want to spoil and ruin your children, what can you be doing? One thing is by being permissive. How can we be permissive? We can be permissive by letting our children have their own way and not teaching them self-discipline. If we can teach our children to be undisciplined, we will spoil our children. We can spoil them by being permissive and taking up for them in their wrongdoing. That will tend to spoil our children. We can spoil our children by taking favorites between husband and wife, father and mother, taking favorites and letting the children know who's their favorite. You can be assured that your children will have problems. These things will generate pride and disrespect in your child, and that will spoil your children. We can also spoil our children by being harsh with them, and by being harsh and demeaning, by being unkind and unfair. This will spoil our children too, and it will breed anger and rebellion, and that will ruin a child. But in spite of these, I want to say that in spite of the child's upbringing, God's grace can still come in and change a life. And for that, I am thankful. I think of a friend that I have who grew up in an alcoholic home, but he's an outstanding man of God because God touched his life and he allowed God to come into his life. To wrap this up, just a couple of take-homes here. Once again, to state that the qualities of faithful Christian living from us men will enhance our relationship with our children. And even though that these characteristics of these three men that I mentioned were not all related to being a father, yet those characteristics influenced their life, and I believe that it was transferred to their children in the way that they practice their parenting. And if we have developed a false view of the nature and personality of God because of our earthly father, I would urge us that we could take a renewed view of God as our Heavenly Father and understand better the grace of God that has come to us. And in closing, I'd just like to leave with you some verses from Titus 2, verses 11 to 14, where Paul wrote like this: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." May the Lord bless you.